Truth News Network. Mainstream news, for the most part, cannot be trusted. Want the truth?
And nothing but the truth?
It's here every day at the Truth News Network. Here with today's truths is Dan Newman.
Once again, folks, we have found the truth of the day. And I must be honest with you, it's not looking good now for President Trump. Many Americans are shocked to see a president that thumbs his nose at the judicial branch of our government and just began making laws and executive decisions on his own when court findings disagree with what he thought should happen in any case. The outcry by Americans has just begun. Remember that presidential oath of office? Every president has taken it. It says, "I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States." That oath is succinct regarding the requirement for every president to defend the Constitution to the best of his or her ability. What's the purpose of the Constitution? Well, it's to ever be the legal template for all of the nation to use in crafting, implementing all federal legislation passed and signed into law. No person, either American or foreign, has any right under any conditions to refuse to abide by duly enacted federal laws. And each must be held accountable for breaking any of these laws. Remember, no man is above the law, and that includes U.S. presidents. So why does executive branch lawbreaking happen at all? Well, you may have reached the conclusion that this story is not about Donald Trump. It's not. It's about former President Barack Obama. It's amazing how many instances of wrongdoing on the part of the president were given a benign approval by millions in America, including members of Congress, and even from those in the Department of Justice. And don't forget the mouthpieces of the Democrats and the left, the media. About that, I can tell you factually, these comments that I'm making now will be tagged by those in the media, and also this story, as one of racist rhetoric by a racist Southerner. Nothing could be further from the truth. As is normal at Truth News Network, we bring conclusions based on facts, and you're always provided the facts on which conclusions are made. How did I feel personally about Mr. Obama? I'm going to be honest. I didn't vote for him in 2008. I did not vote for him in 2012. My vote never had any tie to his skin color. I didn't agree with his policies, and I thought in both elections, those policies supported by his opponents were better for the American people than were his. So I voted based solely on my thoughts, driven by his political standings on certain issues. And I supported him while he was in office, and I hoped desperately he would succeed in making things better in our nation. I heard that philosophy I just shared with you. I heard it best explained this way. When I board a commercial jet, I may not like the pilot or the co-pilot of the plane. I may not like the way the pilot talks just before takeoff from the PA when he sends that message to the back of the plane to all of us. But all that matters is that he is the pilot for my flight. I would never wish him to fail. I want him to succeed, especially in that flight. He succeeds when he lands that plane at my destination and I get off. After all, if he doesn't succeed, it's not going to be too good for me or anyone else aboard. That illustrates my feelings for every president that has served during my lifetime. Every member of Congress, too, my state government members, parish, county, city as well. All that being said, it troubled me constantly during the Obama 8 years to face his obvious disdain for U.S. law. And in many cases, he specifically usurped laws passed by Congress and signed into law by previous presidents in favor of his own thoughts and ideas about legal matters. Today, we are being bombarded by a press and by members of Congress who are screaming at the sky about Attorney General William Barr's position to readdress the sentencing of Roger Stone. Roger Stone, a longtime confidant of President Trump, was convicted for his illegalities, which apparently will imprison him for 9 years. Democrats are crying for the head of Attorney General Barr and, once again, that of President Trump. Let's today put that in context. We'll talk about this issue between Attorney General Barr regarding Mr. Stone in our summary today. Let's compare these actions by this Attorney General and President to those of President Obama and his Attorneys General. Remember, he had two, first Eric Holder and then Loretta Lynch. While doing so, think back to the way the media and Democrats acted in the aftermath of each of these things when they were made public. We'll call this section In Your Face. All of this happened during the Obama 8 years. First, Black Panthers. A federal court in Washington held that political appointees appointed by President Obama did interfere with the Department of Justice's prosecution of the new Black Panther Party. The new Black Panthers case stems from an Election Day 2008 incident where two members of the new Black Panther Party were filmed outside a polling place intimidating voters and poll watchers by brandishing a billy club. Justice Department lawyers investigated the case, filed charges, and when the Panthers failed to respond, a federal court in Philadelphia entered a default against all the Panther defendants. But after Obama was sworn in, the Justice Department reversed course, dismissed charges against three of the defendants, and let the fourth off with a narrowly tailored restraining order. Then there was Fast and Furious. Most everybody remembers Fast and Furious. It was an Obama program in which the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, better known as BATF, helped put heavy weapons into the hands of murderous drug cartels in Mexico. The whole scandal exploded when a federal agent was murdered with a Fast and Furious gun, one of those guns that had been put in the hands of those cartel members, and they killed a U.S. border agent with that gun. As the story threatened to bring down key Obama officials, the spin was put out that it was all part of a supposed investigation into drug cartels. However, massive amounts of evidence emerged in the subsequent months and years, suggesting that it was actually a criminal operation to blame the Second Amendment for violence with the supposed targets of the alleged investigation already on the FBI payroll. Indeed, top lawmakers and gun rights activists have said that operation was intended to be exploited by Obama to push gun control. It blew up in the administration's face when federal agents blew the whistle. And one American gave his life. Congress, in its investigation, subpoenaed the DOJ for records that detailed that operation. Attorney General Eric Holder himself was involved in withholding thousands of key documents from Congress. Holder requested President Obama to exert executive privilege to allow the DOJ to withhold those documents from Congress. And Obama did so. However, Congress found Holder in contempt of Congress and referred his doing so to the Washington, D.C. Federal Attorney's Office for prosecution. That federal attorney, though, who was an Obama appointee, refused to take up the matter for investigation or prosecution of the contempt charge. It, therefore, was never brought to the court for adjudication. Let's just make a quick list of some of the other top examples of Obama wrongdoing, Obama DOJ wrongdoing. Attempting to shut down gun stores outside of the law, illegally. It spent tax dollars to illegally resettle illegals inside the U.S. Illegally targeted conservative groups via the IRS. Secretly obtained phone records from Associated Press journalists, illegally. Carried out military interventionism in Libya with no congressional approval. That's illegal. It was a full-scale war. Conducted the unconstitutional indefinite detention of U.S. citizens without filing any charges. Illegal. Undertook illegal warrantless wiretapping. Ordered Boeing Corporation, which is and was a private company, to fire 1,000 employees. Stole money from retired teachers and police officers during the Chrysler bankruptcy. Auctioned off ambassadorship to the Netherlands. Took money from retired Delphi employees by canceling their pensions unilaterally. All their money was gone, and they did that in favor of labor unions. Illegally gave Obamacare exemptions to unions that supported the passage of Obamacare. authorize installation of hidden cameras on private property with no search warrants, accepted illegal campaign contributions from foreign citizens. That's just a scratch of the surface. We have 65 more of those that were, at best, very unethical actions by the Department of Justice under Obama, and in most cases, were actually illegal. And of course, all that was wrapped in the famous I did nothing thing that we heard often from President Obama, like this. This is a quote. He said, not only did I not get indicted, nobody in my administration got indicted. That's how Mr. Obama justified his continual lawbreaking and the authorization of members of the Eric Holder and then Loretta Lynch Department of Justice to skirt the law. The Obama administration, under his leadership, will likely be labeled by historians as one of, if not the, most corrupt presidential administrations in U.S. history. Americans don't hear much about that. Instead, here's what we hear today. Trump friend Roger Stone, caught up in the Mueller investigation, was convicted of 7 felonies in his federal trial. Oddly enough, not a single charge nor conviction had anything to do with President Trump, with his campaign, or even the Mueller investigation's original purpose, which was, if you remember, to prove Trump or Trump campaign associates colluded with Russians to impact the 2016 election for the benefit of then-candidate Donald Trump. Not a single American was ever charged with anything to do with Donald Trump or Russian collusion. Stone, Paul Manafort, and Michael Cohen and General Michael Flynn were each charged with process crimes, that is, crimes regarding their testimony in which they allegedly and were subsequently convicted of or pled guilty to lies or interfered with the Mueller investigation. Mueller prosecutors wanted Stone to be sentenced to 9 years plus for his crimes. The uproar from Democrats is deafening in the wake of AG William Barr's move to reassess the Stone sentence. Barr, as Attorney General, can do that, has every legal right. And Democrats, for that, want his head. Naturally, the Democrats and their media minions have gone nuts about Barr's pending actions regarding the Stone sentencing. There are cries from the left for Barr's resignation, for his testimony before House and Senate committees, to be questioned for his reasoning for intervention in Stone's sentence. But what is the uproar all really about? Donald Trump. Want some facts of the matter? You know, facts are facts. Federal minimum sentences for nonviolent offenders are typically not anywhere near those 9 years with which Stone is facing. Manslaughter with a weapon? 1 year. Burglary with a firearm? 1 year. Sexual assault with a gun? 2 years. Assault with a firearm? 1 year. Carjacking, 3 years. You got to get up in the murder mode or trafficking of heroin or something like that to get close to a 9-year minimum sentence. Stone's 7 crimes each had to do with misrepresenting facts, lying to Congress, lying to prosecutors, etc. None were serious crimes. They all were nonviolent. Remember this, General Michael Flynn? He was goaded into pleading guilty for lying to FBI investigators during an unofficial visit by FBI agents that conducted an illegal interrogation of Flynn with no notification to the general, their purpose, and not informing him when they were there he might need an attorney to be present. Then when it became apparent what they had was flimsy at best, they blackmailed a confession from Flynn, telling him if he did not confess, they would charge his son for not registering as a lobbyist for a foreign country. To me, this is all the height of insanity, the height of partisanship, the height of hatred and indignation, and the height of being, I guess I'll put it in teenage terms, a poor loser. Democrats just can't take losing the 2016 election. It boils down to that. The White House belongs to them. When we come back, I have some very interesting things to say in addition to these. And we'll bring the whole conversation to today and exactly where we stand. You don't want to miss it. Back after this at Truth News Network, truthnewsnet.org.
Classical conservatism, contemporary style. TNN,
the Truth News Network.
Long live the courageous.
May God bless and keep you always.
the tenacious, the ones who push forward and give back. Long live the greater good, the helping hand, those who fall and get back up. And long live the truck with the strength to overcome. The will to outwork. And the commitment to outlast them all. Ram, proven to last.
How can we say when you book direct at choicehotels.com, you always get the lowest price in our rooms, guaranteed?
Let's get someone to say it with a really low voice. Carl?
Lowest price guaranteed.
What about the world's lowest limbo stick?
How low can you go?
Nice one, Carl.
Hey, I've got an idea. Just say, bada book, bada boom.
Bada book, bada boom.
Nice.
Always the lowest price guaranteed. Book now at choicehotels.com.
The view from the top
is reserved for the bold.
And the bold tell the truth.
TruthNewsNet.org.
Let's try to puzzle through and figure all this insanity out. Attorneys General Eric Holder and Loretta Lynch, during the Obama administration, flaunted their blatant disrespect for and their constant ignoring of all federal law, including those broken by their boss in the White House. Where were the Democrats in Congress when that occurred? We heard nothing. No committee hearings, no investigation, no media pundits speaking on behalf of Democrats, telling everybody how evil it was. There was no outcry about Obama's wrongdoing and often illegal actions. The examples of the Obama DOJ gave to Americans proved there was a two-tier justice system in the nation, one for Democrats and their cronies, and one for everyone else. I won't even bring race into this conversation, but it seems eerily and sadly true that President Obama seemed to be acting on some racial get-even path by often arbitrarily determining which laws could be broken and by whom. And much of those instances listed above and dozens of others seem to have had racial overtones. No one can reasonably state there was not and still is not racial injustice in America. No one can reasonably assert that African Americans have long been and still are held, not always but more often than whites, to a different standard of liability by law enforcement officials. To what measure and how to repair and replace that injustice is sadly almost always totally subjective. And that allows the cries for retribution for past sins to be forced on Americans almost daily. If that played any role in any of the actions described here today by President Obama and members of his Department of Justice, it's a sad revelation of the spite and disrespect that president and his administration had for the Constitution and for the rule of law. Any attempt to determine the why for those actions would result in only subjective conclusions. There is no way to reach any inevitable conclusion. What is the truth in all this? Well, the Stone sentencing, when viewed in the light of the federal criminal sentencing guidelines, is a sign of unfairness and partisan attacks. Can you imagine how Democrats would feel if this action happened under President Obama regarding a friend of his, and a Republican administration went after that friend in the same way they went after Roger Stone? Democrats in Congress and elsewhere would be screaming through their media outlets for that attorney general's head. Instead, Democrats today are in a fashion saying to us all, ignore the federal minimum sentencing guidelines, ignore sentencing precedents, ignore the nature of the proven charges for which Mr. Stone was convicted. Throw the book at him. But they're going even more in depth with their desperate cries for the heads of Barr and Mr. Trump. They are once again showing the nation they'll do anything, anything at all, to remove Donald Trump and every federal official elected or appointed during the Trump presidency. Forget about Americans. Forget about the election process and the one just a few months ahead. We'll inject our opinions into the process while removing and disregarding those of American voters. That's what they're saying, in effect, folks. I can hardly say the term, but to me, in the worst, it sounds like maybe a coup d'etat, a coup, even though there's no military element in what they're doing, at least not now. But at best, it sounds like anarchy. It's not good for America, folks. Everyone deserves equal justice under the law. And that's what our government and the Department of Justice in particular are supposed to be all about. Well, a sad discussion today, but at least we didn't have to talk about impeachment. I use the I word. I apologize. Hey, be back tomorrow. We're looking ahead. We're going to try to turn the corner and give you a little preview of what you haven't heard is about to go on. And it's heavy. So make sure you're here tomorrow at Truth News Network, truthnewsnet.org. So long, everybody.
When madness is the norm, the truth is a radical act of courage. Remain calm. Be brave. Wait for the signs. TNN,
the Truth News Network.